Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you see everyone in this assembly here tonight. You know the need of every heart. Holy Ghost, we ask for your liberty. Lord, we ask that you minister to every need and that you give the word of the hour. Lord, you know our dependence on you. We ask you to be with us tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. I would like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 34. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord shewed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Why do you suppose that Moses, such a man of God, was able to see the promised land, but yet not go over? Well, we know that it was due to disobedience. But yet, in spite of that, God took him to a place before he died and let him see the land of promise. The Lord wanted him to have a vision. Moses, here's what you've been working for. And I believe the Lord wants each one of us to have a vision tonight. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, verse 5, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Dropping down to verse 10, And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty land, and in all the great terror which Moses shewed in the sight of Israel. Now Moses was a man with a vision. If we look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had a vision of something better than the pleasure of being in Pharaoh's house. And he suffered out there in the desert with a stiff-necked people. And he went through some of the same things they went through, but he had a vision. And before he died, God granted him the opportunity to see the promised land. Yes. Now there may be things in life that we labor toward in the work of the Lord. And maybe we don't see the fruits of our efforts. But we need to have a vision. I remember hearing about a missionary that worked in Africa, and I believe he labored for many years, and he saw no real results. But there was a man that was saved, and years later it sprung up into a great work. We need a vision, and it's not based on the number of people that sit in our chapels or whatever measure the world may use, but we need a vision of something that is greater than that. Well, Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land, but I want to show that Moses was a man that was close to God. In Exodus chapter 34, Exodus 34 and verse 27, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with two tables of testimony in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." A man close to God, so much that the skin of his face shone. Does that remind you of anything in the New Testament? Where Jesus' face began to shine? I'd like to show that he was honored of God, Moses, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him." Now you notice two men somehow were chosen or something to be talking with Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses was one of them. Special. To me, that's a real honor. And you know what they were discussing? Jesus' upcoming death that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Oh, what important things. Moses was a man that had a vision. And apparently he still wanted to be discussing that vision with Jesus many years later. We need a vision that goes beyond the discouragements of this life, that goes beyond any kind of persecutions that we may have. We need a vision of the work of the Lord. In Luke chapter 10, Luke 10 and verse 23, Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye have seen. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." There have been many prophets and kings that had a vision of the types of things that Jesus brought, of the fact that a Messiah was coming. They had a vision down through the ages to see this thing is coming. And they desired to see it. But that didn't keep them from having a vision. Even though they did not live to see the Savior come, they still had a vision. There may be things that we never see in this life, but we need a vision by faith to be able to see that they will come to pass. I think of Noah. Talk about a man with a vision. Never having rained, but yet the man had a vision from God to build an ark. A vision that ended up being the salvation of mankind and of the animal kingdom. And a man that was willing to work on this vision year after year after year.
Help us, Lord.
With people mocking, "Noah, is it going to rain yet? Tell me one more time about the water that falls out of the sky, Noah. What's this big boat, Noah? Will you build me a boat like this?" Can you imagine all the mockery? But the man had a vision that ended up being the salvation of mankind. But keep in mind, Noah did not live to see the repopulation of the world. He didn't live to see all the cities that were built, all the animals repopulating the whole world. He didn't live to see all that. But he had a vision that God had given him. David had a vision as well. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7 and 1. It came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth in curtains. David had it made. He was living in a house of cedar. And I noticed that when many of the rulers of countries in this world have achieved absolute luxury and splendor and palaces and multiple multi-million dollar bank accounts across the world, when they have achieved that status, they're pretty satisfied to keep it just that way. But David had a vision greater than that.
Thank the Lord.
I don't feel good living in this house of cedar,
right,
and the ark of the Lord dwelleth in curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. This wasn't even something the Lord had asked for. The Lord said, Have I asked for this? I've been satisfied with this. But David had a vision. He had a desire to do something for the Lord. We need a vision tonight. In verse 12, And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now David, you're not going to live to see this temple built. But at least he had a vision. You and I may not live to see certain things, but we need a vision, and we need to be faithful to the Lord. The temple of Solomon was ornate. It was lavish. It was covered with gold inside and out, with master craftsmen that made such amazing carvings. It was quite a sight. Why? Because a man had a vision that the ark of the Lord is in a tent. And I want something better than that for the Lord. What kind of vision do we have tonight? Are we satisfied with things being just the way they are? Or do we have a vision for something better? Do we have a vision to reach out to lost souls? Or are we counting numbers? Are we worried about the measurement that the world makes on success? We need a vision that is greater than that. Nehemiah had a vision. Nehemiah chapter 2. I appreciate these Bible heroes. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1. It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? This man's heart was in the city of God. And maybe he had it pretty good in the king's palace. But he had a vision of something greater than that. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. That's a good place to get visions, isn't it? And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Sounds ambitious.
Yes.
Here he is, servant to the king, cupbearer. And his vision extended beyond that. He may have had an enviable position. You mean you get to be in the presence of the king? Well, I have to stay back in the kitchen. But I tell you that this man had a vision. What is your request? Let me go talk to the Lord. And the Lord gave him a vision. A great vision. King, I have the vision now. I want to go rebuild the city. Pretty ambitious for a servant that's a captive in a foreign land. What kind of vision do we have? Oh Lord, you know that I could never do that. My situation in life, Lord, give us a vision. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come to Judah. Wait a minute. He wanted to rebuild the city. Up beyond that, I want escorts.
All right.
Military escorts to carry me over there. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Just let letters be written by the king, and go ahead and send in the supplies for the city. This man had a vision, didn't he? Is anything too hard for God? We need a vision tonight. Sometimes we get discouraged. Perhaps we need our vision renewed. Abraham had a vision. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 13. Abraham and his nephew Lot had servants that were in a dispute over the wells of the land. Now Abram was the senior member in the family. He was the leader. And here's how I solved the problem. Lot, you pick whatever you land you want and we'll take what's left over.
That's
right. But what do you think Lot picks? The best piece. And so here Abram is after that. And let's look what kind of vision the Lord gave him. Genesis 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram after Lot separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes. If we want a vision, let's look up. Let's look up to something higher than what we've had our eyes on. The problems that are around us, the contention between the servants, the fact that my nephew just took advantage of me. Let's lift up our eyes and get a heavenly vision of something that's better than that. And let's see what the Lord will do. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Can anything limit God?
No.
When we get cheated, when people do us wrong, may God expand our vision to see something better. In chapter 15, and verse 1, After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Now back in those days, having children was something highly valued. Someone that would carry on the family name. They prized their children. Lord, you gave me all this land, and now I'm childless. Let's extend our vision. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. Have you ever been outside of the city and looked up at the stars? When I've been a city boy most of my life, it seems like. But when I get out into these rural areas, remote areas where there's not much light pollution, oh, I am amazed at the number of stars. Abram, look up. Get your vision up. I want to show you something. Now you won't live to see the multitude of Jews that come forth from you. But I want to give you a vision. Yes. Here it is.
Yes.
The Lord wants to give us a vision of something better in life. Verse 5, And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. What a vision that the Lord has for us. Jesus said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham had a vision that extended down through the ages of time all the way to the promise of the Messiah.
Yes, that's right.
That's a vision, folks.
Yes, it is.
A man that had given up hope that he would ever have a child. And then by faith he saw the Savior coming forth out of his descendants.
That's right.
Do we have a vision tonight? Do we have a vision of holiness? Do we have a vision of the Church of God in her beauty? Or are we so focused in on numbers, on failures, on what people are doing, what people are saying? God, help us to have a vision of something that gets a hold, that's not limited by time. It's not limited by the results I see. But a heavenly vision that reaches through the ages. Wise men throughout the ages have had a vision of the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, what a valuable time. How excited the Israelites indeed, like Nathanael, must have been when they realized, I get to see it now. Oh, what a blessing when the vision comes to pass. Paul was testifying before Agrippa, Acts chapter 26. Acts 26 and verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? For it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Notice what Jesus is doing here. He's giving him a vision. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Can you think of any higher ambition in life than that? To help people be turned from the power of Satan to the power of God. Oh, what a vision. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. What was the heavenly vision? Was it the bright light shining down out of the sky? I think it was His great commission. Paul, I have something big for you. Now you've made it your business to go around persecuting and killing people. How would you feel going home at night? Somebody's not going to have a daddy come home tonight. You think Paul ever felt guilty in spite of his religious zeal? Paul? Saul? I want to give you a better vision than that. I want you to turn people from the power of darkness to the power of light. There are people out there living heathen lives. People that are wrapped up in fornication and idol worship and just fulfilling every lust imaginable. And I'm going to send you out there and you're going to preach to them and they're going to become holy saints of God. Oh, what a vision.
Yes.
Can we get a hold of that vision tonight? Has Paul been an encouragement to anyone here? This vision that he had, the writings that he made, the works that he did. I tell you, we need to look up and get a vision of what the Lord would have us to do. Peter was a man that had a vision. In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4 and verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came up and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, and the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. These people got a vision of a better way to live. When Jesus came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They said, never a man spake like this man. This man speaks with authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, the light shone into people's hearts. And they began to get a vision. A vision that they were willing to lay their own lives down. They were willing to forsake all and follow the Lord. We need a vision tonight. A vision that goes beyond what this world has to offer. Too many people's vision is dimmed by the temporal things of this life. By the pride, by the fashion, by sin. People's vision is being limited. We need a vision that goes beyond this. We need a vision that's inspired by the Holy Ghost. We need a vision of what a godly man can do on the job. I tell you, the men on the job, it burdens my heart. Their hearts are so wicked. They need to see a godly man. We need some godly fathers out there. We need a vision of what difference it makes in our children's lives to know that my daddy prays. Do we have a vision tonight? Of what it means to be a God-fearing woman that is modest, that is holy, that is an example out in the world and in the home. Do we have a vision tonight? They saw a great light. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. I like Peter. He was outspoken. He was enthusiastic. And sometimes he said the wrong things. But I like Peter. I loved his enthusiasm. And I thought maybe Peter was an ambitious fisherman too. Maybe he had in mind, my boat is almost paid for and I'm getting ready to get a bigger boat. In fact, someday I'm going to own a fishing fleet out here on the sea and I'm going to be known as the main fisherman of the entire sea. He may have had a lot of dreams of this earth in his mind. But Jesus came and gave him a better vision than that. And he saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Yes.
It's not how many fish you catch, Peter. You want to know how to catch a lot of fish? Just, I'll tell you where to throw the net.
All right.
I can prove that to you, Peter.
Yes.
I want you to understand there's a whole lot more to life than how many fish you can catch.
Right.
And tonight I hope you realize there's a lot more to life.
Yes.
Than how big your bank account is.
That's right. That's right.
Than what prestige you may achieve in life.
That's right.
What degrees and titles come after your name. What fine things people say about you. Do we have a better vision than that tonight? Which is more valuable, fish or men? I began to realize some time ago, people are a lot more valuable than money. Do you believe that tonight? Do we have a vision of how important the souls of men are? In this life, we need to have a vision. John chapter 4. John 4 and 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Disciples, I want you to get your vision above satisfying our temporal needs in life. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Oh, what a vision. We heard this morning about not my will, but thine be done. That's a vision, isn't it? I see something better than my desires in life. Seeing how much pleasure I can get in my lifetime. The boy who dies with the most toys wins. I tell you, that's a pretty low vision, isn't it?
It sure is, bro.
I'd rather have a better vision than that.
That's right.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I can't think of a more important job than the will of the Father. I can't think of a career that I would rather pursue than doing the will of the Father. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I send you, I want to give you a vision. Lift up your eyes. We're going to have to look up. We want to get a vision from heaven. We're going to have to look above this world. And the reverses and the frustrations and the injustices. Oh, there's so many injustices today. And I tell you, you read the news and oh, you can start getting so stirred up. It isn't right. They shouldn't be doing that. We need to look up and see a harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white with harvest. And let me tell you something that will give you a vision. You go see little children that don't have any dads in their lives. You see people that go hungry every day. And you start to realize the material things that we have in this country are so vain and empty.
That's right.
It will help give you a vision of something that's better. Do we have that vision today? Of sin-sick souls, people that are hurting, people that are contemplating suicide, contemplating divorce. Do we have a vision of this today, or are we so busy with our lives that we pass right on by? White is the harvest, calls the Master for you. Reapers are needed that are faithful and true. Thrust in the sickle, all the sheaves gather in. Go with gospel tidings, go the lost world to win. Search in the highways, bid the wanderer to come. Rescue the dying. People are so much more important than fish.
That's right.
There are people out there dying.
Yeah.
That ought to appeal to every one of our hearts. Rescue the dying, all the lost gather in. Stay not in idleness, the shadows will fall. Fast the day is waning, tell the story to all. Satan wants to interfere with your vision. He wants to narrow your vision. He doesn't want you to go up out and look up at the stars and hear God's promise. He wants you to be focused on what Lot just took. He wants you to pitch your tent towards Sodom. Satan wants to narrow our vision. It's my life. It's my money. It's my time. You're only young once. Oh, let's get our vision lifted up. But somebody didn't treat me right, and I have my rights. Let's get our vision a little higher than that. In Pilgrim's Progress, the interpreter took Christiana and her company apart again and has them first into a room where a man that could look no way but downward with a muck rake in his hand. There stood also one over his head with a celestial crown in his hand and proffered him that crown for his muck rake. But the man did neither look up nor regard, but raked to himself the straws, the small sticks, and the dust of the floor. Quite an exchange, wasn't it? Didn't have a vision. Then said Christiana, I persuade myself that I know somewhat the meaning of this. For this is a figure of the man of this world, is it not, good sir? Interpreter, thou hast said right, said he. And his muckrake doth show his carnal mind. And whereas thou seest him rather give heed to rake up the straws and sticks and the dust from the floor than to do what he says that calls to him from above with a celestial crown in his hand. It is to show that heaven is but a fable to some, and that things here are counted the only thing substantial. Now, whereas it was also shewed thee that the man could look no way but downward, it is to let thee know that earthly things, when they are with power upon men's minds, quite carry their hearts away from God. Then said Christiana, O deliver me from this muckrake. How is your vision today? Do you have a vision of the things that Jesus warned us about? That we need to watch and pray? That we need a carefulness in our lives? Do we see that? Or does it not matter to us? We need to look up with a vision. Do we see a vision of a second coming? It'll make a difference in our lives if we truly do. In Acts chapter 1, Acts 1 and 9, when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Yeah.
I doubt they ever forgot that scene that day. They were so happy the Savior had risen.
Yeah.
Their sorrow turned to joy.
Yeah.
And they were there privileged to witness the Savior ascending into heaven. And they were just overtaken by the scene. But fortunately, two angels came and gave them yet another vision. You see the way he went up? He's going to come in that some way someday.
Yes.
If you and I truly have a vision of that, it will make a difference in our lives.
Yes.
There is something in our lives that will respond to that. Lord, I know you're going to come again. You're going to come in flaming judgment. And I better be careful. I better be watching. I better be praying. I better make sure this world is not my home. How is your vision tonight? Jesus said, "Hereafter you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with glory." Do we have a vision of that tonight? Do we have a vision of the hope of the resurrection coming out of our graves someday? Peter called them exceeding precious promises, I believe. At least precious promises. Do we have a vision of the precious promises that we'll get to live again? That death will not hold us in the grave? Do we have a vision of heaven tonight? It ought to make us want to go there. It ought to make us say heaven will be worth it at any cost.
Yes.
If we truly have a vision of heaven. Paul had a vision of heaven. In fact, he was willing to lay down his life for the Lord. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And here's his vision. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Oh, it's going to be worth it. I'm looking forward to it. Are you? Is it real to you? A crown of righteousness. That if we reign as kings and priests in this life, we'll get to reign with Him over there forever and ever. Paul had a vision of that crown. "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and it makes it worth it. Every beating I've been through, every time people insulted me, the shipwreck I went through, the times that I was cast out for dead, giving up being married, all the sorrows of life I had to go through, I see a crown. I have a vision." But Paul wanted to share that vision with us. He said, "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." That can include each one of us here tonight. Every one of us can have a vision of that crown in heaven. Every one of us can have a vision of eternal souls that we want to do whatever it takes for them to be saved. We can have a vision of a beautiful church and not listen to all the church bashing. Do you have a vision tonight? Something worth living for. Something worth dying for.
Help us, Lord.
May God give us a greater vision.
Amen.
May the Lord bless each one. Amen.